Thank you, now, Pastor Brother Chick.
That's a good song for Valentine's Month, amen. He loves me, and I'm so glad he did. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. As you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, let me set this up for you. We see that Paul's telling this Gentile church of God's love and how it was Jesus Christ who opened up salvation spout to the Gentile nations in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm so glad he did, because he did, I have Jesus in my heart. Because he did, I can face tomorrow. Amen. And so he told them, because of God's love to us, that it causes us to bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are named with all the families of heaven. Amen. When you let Jesus Christ come into your heart, you become the part of the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? How many are glad that you can become part of the family of God? But when you follow your Lord in baptism, you become part of the bride of Christ. Now that's even better, amen? Let's read what he says in this book of Ephesians. And I want to read verse 17. He's just talking about how he strengthens the inner man, the spiritual man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Again, we're talking about heart month. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, Lord, open our hearts to your word. Let us receive it. Let us meditate on it. And let us perform your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many has been able to watch the news the last couple of days? You know, they're worried about fires, aren't they? Yesterday, a wildfire broke out and it started to spread and it made everybody nervous. They got on the weather yesterday evening. They said, now, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is high fire danger. So be very careful. The moisture is low and the air is dry. The wind's going to be blowing and you got to be careful about the fires, you see. They're always worried about those fires. I want to talk to you this morning about a fire I don't want you to worry about. You say, well, you're going to talk to us about hell? We need to be worried about that fire. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you today to let Jesus come into your heart. God wants to save you. He wants to give you a home in heaven and be a part of the family of God. He truly does. But the fire I want to talk to you today is the fire of revival. You say, well, you've talked to us about revival before. My friends, revival takes place every day in a Christian life. Amen. Revival needs to continue day by day and week by week and year by year. And if we don't talk about it, you forget about it. Amen? Amen. My wife and I are bad about this. We'll purchase something and use it 3 or 4 times. And then we forget about it. You know why? Because we forget to talk about it. My brother says that since they've had you on this diet, all you talk about is food. Well, it's true. They're starving me to death. But I want to give you an example. We have a bread maker at our house. How many has a bread maker, one of those automatic deals? How many has it been years since you've used it? Huh? You quit talking about it. I'm telling you, I talk a lot about homemade bread nowadays. Amen. Man cannot live by bread alone. Got to have bologna and Miracle Whip and pickles and... Okay, that's enough of food. You like that, Lexi? Are you going to start counting every time I talk about food? Okay. But we talk about it. If we don't talk about it, revival won't happen in our lives. And this world needs the church to have revival. This world needs the members of Bible Baptist Church to have revival in it. You know, a dead church is not going to do anything great for this world that we live in. So the question is, do we have a church that is alive, or do we have a church that is dead? I want to tell you this morning, I want a church that's alive. I like to be around live things. I like to be lively in my life. I know that I'm just now turned 24, I can't remember. After 20, you know, why even count, amen? But I want to be live like I'm young, amen? I don't want to be sitting in a chair rotting away. I want to have some spizz about me, amen? I want to be like that pop rock stuff that you put in your mouth, and man, you start putting, and it starts to explode in your mouth. How many remember those? That's like food, Lexi, but it's not food, okay? So erase that mark right there, okay? But I want to be that alive. And the church ought to be that alive. Well, what's the characteristics of a live church? How do we know if our church is alive? Well, I'd like to give you 12 points of knowing how our church is alive. And I will not cover all 12 points this week, okay? So here we are, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and still at church. That'd be the best thing that happened to you, I promise you. You just stay, and at 6 o'clock we'll start all over, and you won't even be late for church. So here's what we got. Live churches that have people in it who are alive bring their Bibles to church. You say, well, why did you start off with that? Well, duh, what are we studying in Sunday school today? How about your heart and what? The Bible. Do you know after salvation that Bible needs to become an everyday event in your life? It's because of that Bible you let Jesus Christ come into your heart. The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, no, a friend brought Christ Jesus to me with the Word of God. Amen. So a live church has a Bible in it. You notice the name of our church? What's the first word in the name of our church? Bible. Why? Because this is what this church lives by and dies by. It started with God's Word, and it's going to continue, I pray, with God's Word until the time Jesus comes home, and He is the living Word. Amen? And so the Word of God is so important, and I encourage people to bring the Word of God. More wars have been fought over this blessed book than probably any other thing. I tell you what, you see the course of the world today and you put it in relationship with God's Word and you'll see why our world is so screwed up today. I went back to Virginia with my boys and those people had church almost every day of the week and they didn't have problems in their community. They lived by the Word of God. The Word of God was precious to them. Right now, around here we use the King James Version Bible, amen? I know some churches say, oh, we don't use the King James Version Bible, you can't understand it. Really? Really? I don't find it hard to understand. I truly don't. I know that they try to use versions that men have rewritten. And they say, well, this is more in our language today. I hate to tell you this. This is the English language that the King James Version Bible is written in. It's not written in slangs. It's written in English. Amen? Now, we might not speak English well or read English well, but it is, I believe, God's Word for English-speaking people today. I went to a place yesterday to a funeral, and I always carry my Bible to funerals. I'm about the only one that does. My son brought his Bible. And I was following along with the preacher as he began to open up God's Word and share with the family. And you know, he didn't have a King James Bible. And did you know a lot of valuable information was left out of that translation? He covered the points that Bible he carried, that book that he carried, he covered the points that book gave him, but I was reading along. There was some valuable information that was left out of his translation. My friends, it doesn't help to take things out of the Word of God. They were put there by God for a reason, amen? And so we see the church, they get watered down versions. And I know this makes a lot of people upset. They say, well, it shouldn't matter, but it does matter. And so we see the Word of God, that actually the name God is taken out of a verse. If there's one thing you don't take out of a verse, the name God, the name Jesus, the name Lord, those things should remain, but yet they take them out. Why is the Word of God so important? Because the Word of God fills us with His knowledge and His strength and His power. The Word of God brings us closer to salvation. The Word of God brings us closer to God Almighty in our everyday life. And without the constant influence of the Word of God, we find ourselves slipping away from the pleasures of God, slipping away from the fellowship of God instead of coming closer. It's like having a car. You know, my car can only run so long on a fill-up. And that's it. Only so long. Sometimes I go too long. How many's ever heard this saying, I'm running on vapors? How many's ever heard that? How many's ever said a hard prayer from your house to the filling station? Lord, don't let me run out of gas now, amen? But you know, you never think about that if you run with your tanks full. Isn't that right? You never even consider it. And this is why I say the Word of God is so important to us, because it allows us to run on a full tank. Amen? It allows us to be ready to go long distances that God wants us to go. I love what the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Would you join me just for a moment? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And again, I'm sold on King James Version. Maybe you're not. But I'm telling you what, folks. This Bible is very understandable. But you know, many people try to read it and they don't even belong to God. And so they don't understand it. Some people try to read it and they say, well, it's too hard. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a very easy text to read. But in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible tells the children of God to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, but how do we know that the word of God is the word of truth? Because it comes from God, amen? It's truth. You take that old Bible, and that old Bible has stood the test of time. Men have come and tried to discredit it, and they're in the grave for hundreds of years. The devil's always attacking the Word of God. And as the devil wins, it's not that he banishes the Word of God. He does just what he does with the Christian life. He compromises the Word of God. He brings out different translations. You know, I've got the JCPenney's translation Bible, and I've got the Reader Digest translation Bible, and I've got the Spiegel Catalog version Bible, and all these different versions. He can't destroy the Word of God, so he tries to dilute it. Amen? That's like a Christian. He can't stop a Christian that's full of God in him, that the Holy Spirit has control. So what does he do? He tries to dilute that Christian. Amen? He tries to dilute him. Oh, be a good time for a food example here, but I'm not going to do it, Lexi. I'm not going to do it. You know, it would surprise you how much faster you would grow spiritually if you bring your Bibles to church, and if you'll take your Bibles daily and read it. You'd be so excited in your life how fast you'll grow spiritually. You'll be able to follow along with the scriptures and say, well, I believe this because Brother Chick tells me to believe it. No, no, no. We believe what we believe because God tells us to believe it. Amen? That's why we do it. Well, how can we trust the Word of God? While you're in 2 Timothy, why don't you turn with me to chapter 3? The Bible says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My friend, God gave us this word that we could be ready to grow in grace and serve in grace. Amen. The Bible tells us over in the book of 2 Peter. Would you join me just a moment over in 2 Peter? The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll let you get there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. Excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll get you there. I got my right eye looking at my left eye there for a second. It got me all confused. Here's what he said in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophets came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now you have people say, as you begin to share the Word of God, the devil gets into them. And you start showing them God's Word, and it's going against what they want or what they think. And here's what they say. Well, you're interpreting the Bible one way, and I just happen to interpret it the other way. How many's ever heard that before? How many's ever said that before? Don't raise your hand. No! The Bible interprets itself. Man, I tell you what, scriptures will back up scriptures, amen? Even Christ Jesus, when He walked on this earth and He preached the Old Testament, amen? Because the Old Testament clarifies and testifies of what happened in the New Testament age, amen? The Word of God was inspired by the Holy God, amen? And it was written. Let me tell you some facts about the Word of God. First of all, I like to call this Bible right here is made up of 66 books. How many knew that? So everyone that has a Bible in their hand, they literally got a divine library, amen? You've got a divine library in your hand. You say, well, I don't do anything with libraries. You ought to do something with this divine library made up of 66 books. Let me tell you some things here. The Bible was written by some 40 different writers on 3 continents in 3 different languages over a period of 1,500 years with an interval of about 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And who was the last prophet that declared God in the Old Testament? Old Malachi, didn't he? And old Malachi tried to warn the nation of Israel, God's upset with you. And for 400 years, there was a pause. We know that the Old Testament books, went to the compiling of John the Baptist. We see John the Baptist as that transfigural prophet. The Pentateuch, or the first 5 books of the Bible, was written around 1400 BC. And the book of Revelation was written around 100 AD. These were men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, okay? They were holy men of God from many different walks of life. But again, they were under the inspiration of God. Among the writers were herdsmen, those in exile, tax collectors, preachers, prophets, captains, legislators, and judges. And in this blessed library we have, we can see their influences. Amen. As the Holy Spirit gave him the knowledge. Matthew, he was a tax collector, wasn't he? Oh, David, in some of his writings, he was a herdsman that ended up being a king. Amen. Oh, John the Beloved, he was in exile. But yet God pressed upon him and guided them as they wrote this blessed book, that we could tell people about Jesus, that we could grow in ourselves, that we could be more pleasing to our God. So in a live church that has revival fires, the Bible is very much present there. Amen? And I like that. Number two, in a live church, you see births. I got to see old Jesse today, old Jesse Carpenter. That little rascal's a daddy. Can you imagine him as a daddy? I still remember pictures of him of his killings, of hunting and fishing. Now that guy's a daddy. That house is alive. Why? Because there's birth in that house. Amen? Some of you turned missionary on us and decided to have 12 kids. Man, your house is alive. Amen? I thought that Brother Luke and Sister April was going to have to go to a mission field somewhere. Amen? They were getting the kids. But that's a sign of a live church. Births. You say, well, are you talking about physical births? Well, you know, there's somebody in the Bible that had that trouble. Didn't know which one he was talking about. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 3. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to be born. Amen? Let's read what the book of John chapter 3 says. Now, if you don't have a Bible, share with the person next to you. They don't mind. Here's what the Bible says in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this Pharisee was a religious leader. Okay? A religious leader. He knew the works of God. He was a religious leader. Not a Christian. A religious leader. The same hour, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, you're talking about a religious leader. A man who should have understood what Jesus was talking about. He was a representative, supposedly, of God. He knew the Old Testament, Brother Dan, because he was trained as a religious leader. The sad thing about today is we have a lot of religious leaders that don't know anything about a spiritual God. And I know some people don't like that, but it's true. And so he came to Jesus because he knew he was from God. And he says, I don't understand what you're saying. Am I supposed to be born in the flesh again? How do I do that when I am an older man? Well, let's read what Jesus says to him. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, there you go. You've got to be saved, and then you've got to be baptized to go to heaven. That's not what he said. What was the question, Brother Kelly? It was, do I need to be born of my mother again? Amen? For those of you who had children, we know before a child is born, what breaks? The water. If the water hasn't broken, what do the doctors go in and do? They go in and break the water because there is no birth without the water being broke. Amen? And so we're looking at the flesh and the spiritual man. He wanted to go back, as I say he, Nicodemus wanted to go talk about the flesh, and Jesus says, let's get off the subject of the flesh, let's start talking about the Spirit, amen? Let's talk about what it is to be saved, what it is to know Jesus Christ in your heart. And you said, no, he's talking about baptism. Wait just a second. He talked about the water before he talked about the spiritual birth, amen? Come on, let's go back. Come on, folks, let's read. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Baptism doesn't even happen until after somebody's born into the family of God. Amen? How many understand that? But he put the water there. Why? Because, first of all, to be saved, you got to, first of all, be born in the flesh. Amen? I tell you what, how many was born in the flesh? How many here today was born in the flesh? So I said, I don't know. That's such a hard question. Why do you always ask us these hard questions? How many sitting here this morning? Some of you still don't know. I don't know, am I sitting here or am I sitting there? Where am I at, you know? You are. You're born of the flesh. My friends, you've been born of the flesh. Now you can be born of the Spirit. Amen? You say, no, I still don't believe it. Well, let's keep reading God's Word, because God's Word interprets itself. Amen? Isn't that what we agreed on? Okay, so well, I didn't agree. Well, you should. He says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, except a man be born of water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. See, he clarifies it. My friends, if this church is alive, and it is, by the way, there are babies being born. Oh, after church last Sunday, I was so tickled. We had a man accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, well, how old? He was older, but you know what? He's a baby in Christ now. Isn't that great? You can be 80 years old and be a baby in Jesus. Isn't that exciting? You can be 100 years old and be born again. That's exciting. It's exciting, isn't it, Brother Ricks? It's wonderful. I got two Brother Ricks, and if I look at one, they're saying, who are you looking at? It's wonderful to be born into the family of God. But how do I be born? How can I know that Jesus lives in my heart? The Bible says, if you realize you're a sinner, and we all are, if you understand that God loves us, and He does, and that He sent His Son to die on the cross and be buried and rose again the third day, and He did, and if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart or soul, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. God, I'm a sinner. I know that You love me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, that He was buried and He rose again the third day, that I could have life. I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Wash my sin away. Come into my heart. Save me. Amen? I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. My friend, you're born again if you believe. You say, is that all there is to it? Well, yeah, on our part. Jesus did so much more, though, didn't He? Because Jesus paid the price. On that cruel cross. What a wonderful thing He did to save my soul from loss. Amen? So, folks, if we're going to be a live church, we're going to have to see souls saved. We're going to have to see people come to Jesus saying, I don't have much to give You, but what I have, I give to You. And that's plenty, amen. Because God can take what little we have and multiply it and increase it and make it so much more than we thought we could ever be. You see, folks, if this church is alive, there's got to be life born. You say, well, you just put too much emphasis on salvation. You know what the problem is? Today, churches don't put enough emphasis on salvation. It is so important that people come to Jesus. So when they go through that shadow of death, they don't have to fear evil. Why? Because they're safe in the arms of Jesus. I would hate to even think about leaving this life without Jesus in my heart. People don't want to think about it. People don't want to talk about it. But my friends, we've got to think about it. We've got to talk about it. Because this life that we're living is real. And the eternity which we're going to is a very real eternity. Amen. And it does matter where we spend eternity. But where we spend eternity, in heaven or in hell, we decide in this life. I know people say, well, my good works will outweigh my bad works. There's never been enough good works to outweigh our bad works. Well, I'm a pretty good negotiator, and I'm going to negotiate myself into heaven. There's never been a negotiator that can negotiate anybody into heaven. It's asking Jesus into our heart. Oh, I've got some good family friends over on the other side, and somehow they'll smuggle me in. There's no smuggling in heaven. There's no smuggling in heaven. My friends, today it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ we have atonement. Amen. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ, His love, His unmerited love to us, that we have heaven. If you're here today and you don't have Jesus in your heart, let me encourage you, today let Jesus come into your heart. Let Him wash your sins away. What's the date today? Is it the 16th? How about on February the 16th, 2014, why don't you let Jesus come into your heart and you can have a new birthday, amen? Well, I was born on February the 16th. Well, I thought your birthday was in October. Yeah, that birthday's good, but there's a better birthday, amen? I got saved on February the 16th. That's a good thought, amen? You say, well, you know, I'm not for sure whether I'm saved or not. Why don't you come and let us show you from what God's Word says and then decide whether you are saved or not. Only you and the Lord knows, and the devil. But won't you leave the house of God assured of your salvation? Maybe you're part of the church and you say, well, I'm not vital to this church. If you're a member of this church, you're vital to this church. Maybe you as a church member, you're not living for God like you should. The revival fire hasn't taken place in your heart. Get around some fire so it'll ignite you, amen? Let that revival fire burn inside of you. Make a difference in people's lives. Let God use you. Let God use you for His glory, for His kingdom. Well, I got 2 done out of 12, so how long is this going to take us? My friends, I want to be a part of a live church. And it's going to be more lively the more of you that come in and join us. Amen. I want the city of Enid to know there's a Bible Baptist church that still loves Jesus, that still loves the lost, that still loves people, because Bible Baptist Church does love Jesus. They love the lost and they love people. Amen? Is revival fires burning in your life? Let me ask you something, church. Is your part alive or is it just hanging on to life? You have to make that decision. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed.